Galatians chapter 3. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul defended his apostleship and his call to ministry as a minister of the gospel to the uncircumcised. In chapter 2, the Apostle Paul dealt with the Judaizers and those from chapter 1 that he exposed that were following another Jesus, another gospel, those that were combining law with grace, law works with grace, and forming their own religion. And in doing so, deserving of being accursed. And Paul in chapter 2 tells about certain individuals, Barnabas and Peter, who had been caught up in the error, who had been caught up with those who were seeking to mix and combine law works with grace, and as a result had caused error to come into the thinking of the people there at the council at Jerusalem, specifically error in thinking in Peter's part as a leader, as an apostle. He had separated himself from the Gentile believers, and he had, because of fear of those that lived there in Jerusalem that had come from James, he was afraid to be seen with the Gentile believers, and so he pulled himself away, and Paul confronted him with that, exposed his error, and showed that because of his error, he had caused great problems with the great doctrines of the faith. Peter, if you're going to go with these Jews, then you are saying that justification by faith through grace is not adequate. You're saying that the doctrine of the cross is insufficient. You are saying that these great truths that we hold so dear as apostles are of none effect if you do not fellowship with the Gentile believers. And you follow after those who mix law works with grace. Now when we come to chapter 3, Paul is going to take what he has shared with Peter by exposing his error, and he is going to confront the Galatians and ask them 6 questions in 5 verses. He's going to conduct an interrogation. And he is going to challenge their no thinking. And he uses this word no thinking twice here in the first 5 verses of Galatians chapter 3. Let's read these verses of Scripture and then we'll begin our study after prayer. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? 6 questions in 5 verses, challenging the Galatians in the regard of the fact that they were not thinking biblically. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your precious revelation of truth, the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, to lead and to guide us and to show us what we ought to do. Oh, Father, forgive us for not thinking biblically. Forgive us for not getting into the Word and knowing the doctrines and knowing the principles of thy Word so that we can put them into practice and live by them on a daily basis. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray that you would challenge us this morning. Stir us up. Cause us to know where we are in sin and cause us to know how to do right. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 6 probing questions. Twice here in this passage of Scripture, we find the word foolish. I want to draw your attention to that word because it's a very strong word in the Greek language and it means no thinking. We find it in verse 1, O no thinking Galatians. And then we find in verse 3, are ye so not thinking? That's the literal translation of that word. It's the Greek word anoetos, meaning no or not. Noetos. It comes from the Greek word nous, which means to think. To think. And in reality, these Galatians were not thinking. It's not possible to say that law perfects grace. It's not possible for emotion to perfect reason. And then there are several other things that we read in these verses of Scripture here when we get in. It's not possible for works of the law to supersede the works of the Spirit. And somehow in their brains, they had not thought that far. They had not gotten that far. And I want to say this, folks. All of us included here. The biggest problem that we have today is not thinking biblically. And the reason we're not thinking biblically is we don't have the foundation in place to think biblically. We are ignorant of the Word of God. We are living in a time where there is ignorance in God's house, where people don't get it. They are not learning the Word, and in most places they're not being taught the Word, and we're not going home and on a daily basis searching the Word and a faithful day-by-day study of the Word of God, and so we don't know the Word. We don't know basic principles to live by in our daily life. You would be hard-pressed to find people that could say they knew what the doctrine of justification was. You'd be hard-pressed for someone to define what sanctification is. You'd be hard-pressed to know what is God's definition of righteousness. Everybody has a definition of righteousness. It just doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I am not one of these types to say, I want to give you a theological dictionary of Bible terms and I want you to go home and memorize this. Absolutely not. I have known people that could quote Thiessen, H.C. Thiessen, a great theologian. They could quote by the yard his definitions of theological terms, but when it came to practical everyday living it, devoid. It's not enough to memorize. You've got to live it by the Spirit. You see, you can memorize and quote all those things. That's what they did under the law. But were the children of Israel living the law that they knew so well and had been brought up memorizing as a child? No! The Lord said, you're a stubborn and rebellious generation. You give me lip service, but your heart is far from me. And so Paul, in his tactful way, says, you no-thinking Galatians. That's real nice. Have you ever been told that? I've been told that. You're just not thinking. And they were right. I wasn't. When I put my hand on a tailpipe that was hot, I wasn't thinking. Or when I slapped my hand on the stove at home, I wasn't thinking. All those things that you were told, you're just not thinking, were moments where you could kick yourself, right? Why did I do that? That was not smart. That was dumb. Why did I do it? I wasn't thinking. You weren't thinking about what? What? You were not thinking in the moment, all right, if I put my hand on that hot tailpipe, my hand will be burned. That will cause incredible pain. It'll also mean that I'm going to have some doctoring done to it, and it's going to be weeks before I can use this hand again. I'm not going to put my hand on the hot tailpipe. All right? That's not even to the level of critical thinking. That's just everyday horse sense, right? And yet Paul says, listen, Galatians, you are not thinking. Just look at what you're saying is true. All right? Let's think for just a moment here. Question number one. Let's look at this statement here. Who did bewitch you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That word bewitch is an interesting word. It's the Greek word baskaino, and it means to charm, to fascinate in a misleading way. Now get this, to emotionally flatter. Ooh. Who hath emotionally flattered you? Wow. Because you see what has happened here is they are not acting according to reason. They are acting according to what? Emotion. Because you cannot mix law with grace. Somebody said you could, and they followed after them. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath charmed you? Who hath fascinated you in a misleading way? This word clearly suggests the use of feeling over fact. Emotion over clear understanding of truth. The Galatians were not, as some teach, under a magical spell. I do not agree with those that said that these were under some kind of a magical spell and they were just believing error because they were under a spell. Christians can't be under a spell. You cannot serve God and mammon. Two spirits cannot live in the same body. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, then you're God's child, and it's not possible. I believe the Bible is very clear in that regard. I don't believe they were under some magical incantation or spell. They were just not thinking biblically. They were not thinking biblically. They were willingly acting on their emotions rather than discerning with reason. In your non-thinking, non-reasoning state, Galatians, you trusted in your emotions and you stopped acting in obedience to the truth. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, this is strong language. He is trying to wake them up. He has not given up hope on the Galatian church. Amen? He went there and he preached the gospel. People were saved. Now they're being led into error and he wants to bring them back to the truth. And he's telling them, stop trusting your emotions. Stop trusting your feelings. You act in obedience to objective truth that you were given when we were there. Folks, this is the problem of our day and age. This is it, right here. We don't want to think. We just want people to tell us what to do. That's why how-to books are so successful. You could go write a how-to book on how to make shish kebabs and you could sell them. People don't want to figure out, all right, you take a stick and you put meat on that stick, all right? And you put salt and pepper on it and you put it on the barbecue grill. People don't want to think that for themselves. So they go out and they buy this expensive book and they learn how to do it. Now, there's certain things you need to know about how to season it so it turns out. And you want to soak your sticks in water so that they don't burn up on the grill while you're there. There's certain things you have to learn and know. But you see, today people don't want to think for themselves. They just want to be told, just tell me, Pastor, what I'm supposed to do. You know what refreshed Paul's heart was the Berean people. Why was his heart refreshed by the Bereans and the Thessalonians as well, but the Bereans especially? Why? Because they took what Paul said and they went home and they checked it with the Word. Do you go home and check it with the Word? Or you just blindly accept it? Okay. That's not Bible study. That's not thinking. The Word of God should challenge you and break up the fallow ground and cause you to start thinking. All right, how does this fall in line with my life? Pastor Brainerd's just not talking about the Galatians today. He's talking about me. Where do I fit in this? Where do I fit in this? That's what coming and worshiping the Lord is all about. It's for Him to show us where we're in error. If we don't make any application here, then we're just thinking about the Galatians that lived 2,000 years ago. Bless their hearts. They were not thinking. And we miss it. We miss it. They were not thinking. So, they were saying the position that they took in question number one was emotion perfects reason. That's what they're saying. Emotion perfects reason. All right, now, is that going to work? That's not going to fly. That goes contrary to everything. People make emotional arguments all the time. People make emotional arguments all the time, and most times people are, okay, that sounds great. Now, it may be contrary to fact. It may be contrary to all reason, but because it was emotionally given, it must be true. Now, Paul is saying, what emotional argument is stronger than the truth? What emotional argument are you following that's stronger than the truth of grace? And you know what it boiled down to? Is that these Jewish Judaizers, these mixers of law and grace, had an emotionally charged message that appealed to them. Hey, that makes sense. Yeah, I ought to do these extra things. If I do that, then I know I'll be on my way to heaven. Yeah, I'll go get circumcised. I don't want anything to keep me from going to heaven. Wait a minute. That's not Bible. That's not the truth. Whenever Titus came with Paul, what did they try to do? Oh, that man needs to be circumcised. Why? Paul asked. Paul, you're not supposed to ask why. You're just supposed to do what we say. What is that? Emotion perfects reason. But what it does is it brings error into the church. And Paul said, why should Titus be circumcised? And he would not for 1 hour give them say in that regard. He wouldn't even let them make their emotional argument, because it made no difference. It was in violation of the Word of God. That's the kind of character that's absent today in America. It's absent in our churches. That's why it's so easy for false teachers to get themselves embedded in our churches today. Because we won't challenge. We won't say, hey, that's not right. We just let them come in. Well, there must be a brother or a sister. They got a short haircut. They're a Christian. Well, they had a dress on. They must be a Christian. Doesn't matter that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and all those people do that too. And they're going to die and go to hell. But we just accept and tolerate. They had come to the position there at the Galatian church that emotion perfects reason. And Paul says, who hath bewitched you? Who has charmed you? Who has emotionally flattered you to come to that position? It's not right that you should not obey the truth. After ye heard the truth of the crucified Christ clearly presented to you. Literally, this word is placarded. Paul said, when we were among you, we placarded Jesus Christ crucified before you. That was our message. We preached nothing unto you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I know that there was not any lack of clarity in the message that was given to you, as he says here in verse 1. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. How is it that you say His cross work is insufficient and you have to keep the law and the rites and ceremonies in order to be fully saved? You are saying that emotion perfects reason. And that's not logical. It's not right. And as a result, error has been introduced into the church. Dr. Keith Brooks said this: when the mariner loses sight of his guiding star, the ship may drift into strange waters. The cross of Christ is the central force of Christianity. When it falls from view or is minimized, Christianity goes adrift. And that's what happened here. The cross of Christ was minimized by the Judaizers, and as a result, the churches of Galatia had gone adrift. They had pulled anchor. And there are churches all across America today that are pulling anchor. They're pulling up their anchor from the Word of God, and they're dropping anchor at the local bookstore. Gospel bookstore. Drop anchor there. Or the latest doctor to come down the pike with a new idea. A new method for soul winning. Let's drop anchor over there. And what happens? We pulled anchor, and so it doesn't matter where you drop anchor anymore. It doesn't much matter now because you've left the mooring site. The place where you're supposed to never pull anchor. And that's what the Galatians had done. But Paul says, I'm not going to give up hope on you. I want to know who's bewitched you. I want to know who has emotionally flattered you to pull up anchor from the truth and drop anchor over with the Judaizers. Question number 2. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now that is a pointed question. Did you receive the Spirit of God by keeping the law? Or did you receive it by grace? By grace alone. What's the answer, folks? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is evident. We didn't receive it by keeping the law. We received it by grace through faith. All right. Why is that an important question to ask? Because that's the first step in thinking. You have to have a point from which you reason from. Now, when we were saved, were we saved by keeping the law? No, we weren't. It was by grace through faith. Now, what happens to your thinking from that point? Huh? What happens to your thinking from that point? I'm reasoning now from by grace through faith, not by keeping the works of the law. I'm going to come up at two different places, depending upon where I think from. So Paul gives them a place to think from. He anchors them at the cross in verse 1, and then he takes them to grace, which is in Christ Jesus. Think from this point now. You haven't been thinking. Now I want you to start thinking, and I want you to think right. Folks, we have to have right doctrine in order to think right. You cannot think right apart from right doctrine. That's why it's so important that the Word of God be preeminent in our churches. And not just the Word of God, but the right interpretation of the Word of God, because every cult has come from a misinterpretation of the Word of God. So we have to interpret correctly. We have to interpret rightly. And Paul is saying, Galatians, you're not thinking here. To interpret rightly, you were saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. You were not saved by keeping the works of the law and going through the rites and ceremonies. I never presented that to you. I didn't say, be ye circumcised, thus saith my Lord and King. No, be ye reconciled unto God. That's what he proclaimed. That second question is important because it gives a starting point for thinking. Folks, have you come to the starting point for thinking? Our starting point is Jesus Christ, the cross and grace. And if we're not thinking right, then we're going to come out wrong. You cannot start wrong and come out right. You have to start right and trust God to come out right. No one that started wrong ended up right. We had a little race out here with some of the kids, and we were doing a one-lap parent race, and one of the parents cut across the field because it was funny. It was funny to cut across the field. You know, but I'm going to tell you, they didn't get the ribbon because they cut across the field. Or you watch some of these kids try to run bases, right? They'll take off for first, they'll go to second, go to third, and say, oh, I missed first, and they'll cut across the field to go back to first base. Can't do that. You're out. If you missed a base, you got to run back in reverse, you're going to get tagged out. You're going to be out. Why? It's against the rules. And some people, as the Galatians did, were violating God's rules of grace. They were saying, well, we've got to add some other things to this. This is just too easy. We've got to do all these other things here that we've always done. We've always done that, and we just can't put those things away. We've got to keep them with us. We've got to bring them with us into our newfound faith. And that's error, folks. That's how error gets started. Question number 3 here. Are you so foolish? Are you so not thinking? Same word that's used up here in verse 1. Anoitos. Paul uses this word again to stir up the Galatians. Are you so mentally lazy and careless that you cannot process right thinking from right doctrine? There is never an excuse for lazy thinking in God's house or among God's children. God has provided His clear revelation of truth. We are to think carefully in the Word. Why do some people not think critically from the Word of God? You know, there are seminars that are held all over the United States by companies trying to challenge their workers to think critically. Why? Because their business paradigm depends on it. All right? We've got to come up with a new product. Someone has developed a way to be able to locate themselves anywhere in the world. GPS. Somebody thunk that one up, right? It didn't evolve out of the dirt. Someone didn't say, well, it'd be nice, and all of a sudden they hit the easy button from Staples, and it was there. Somebody had to think that through. All right, wouldn't it be nice if we could locate anybody in the world, if we had just a little handheld thing that would be satellite operated and within a foot could be located by using a GPS. Somebody thought that up, figured it out, put it out on the market. You know what it involved? Critical thinking. Somebody had to think that through. How are we going to do this? How are we going to put it and make it into something that can be held in the palm of the hand? It took critical thinking to do that. Now, as Christians, we have to be involved in critical thinking. Not critical thinking in the sense that we go outside the Word of God, but get inside the Word of God, because there's a whole world of thinking to be done inside the Word of God. The problem is we're lazy, like the Galatians. You're lazy. You're not thinking. Why are you so not thinking, literal translation? Why are you not doing this? This should be a normal pattern of life. You should have been able to identify that this was false, that this was error. How come you haven't come to that place? Well, number one, they didn't know the Scriptures well enough to reason for themselves. You've got to know the Word. You've got to have the foundation of right doctrine. You've got to have the foundation of right principles in order to be able to think right. You've got to know God's Word. Point in fact. You've got to know God's Word. I can't be expected to go and work on somebody's car if I don't know how to work on somebody's car. I'm going to be wasting their time. I'm going to end up breaking something because I don't know what I'm doing. And that's how a lot of people are living their quote-unquote Christian lives. They don't know what they're doing because they don't know the Word. Number two, they don't exercise themselves in the Word. Do you realize that the study of the Word of God is like exercise? You've got to exercise yourself in the Word of God. Everybody keeps talking about how big we are in America. Now the World Health Organization is saying that now we're going to have to apply all these dietary things to babies that are born, because our babies are overweight. I mean, we've gone crazy on this kind of stuff, and we certainly are. We don't eat right. Biggest problem is we don't exercise like we should. We don't get out and work like we used to, because we've got every kind of a machine in the world that does it for us. And so we're not healthy like we should be. And we're not healthy spiritually because we're not exercising ourselves in the Word of God. We're not working our minds and our hearts in the Word of God. We're not letting the Spirit of God search us out and exposing the error in our lives because we're just too busy, or we think we've already spiritually arrived, or whatever reason, we're not exercising ourselves in the Word of God. Thirdly, we're reluctant to think for ourselves. It's a whole lot easier for Pastor so-and-so to tell me what to do than it is for me to figure it out for myself. So I'm just going to have to wait and let him do that for me. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? That's not Bible. That's not biblical thinking. We have a responsibility to get into the Word on our own. We're believer priests. We have no need that any man teach us. We've got the Spirit of God. You're going to be held accountable for that, by the way. You're going to have to give an account before God of why you didn't think inside the Scriptures. Do you realize that? Well, I thought I was only going to be held accountable for what I said. No, you're going to be held accountable for everything that's in this book. God gave it to you. He wants you to know it. If you don't know it, you're going to be held accountable for it. Ignorance is not going to be an excuse in heaven. He gave you His Word. He expects us to learn and to study on our own. Some people are reluctant to do that. Number four, they choose to be ignorant. Choose to be ignorant. Why do people choose to be ignorant? Because I don't have the stress in my life. I won't have the pressure of having to do this because I don't know it. Right? I won't have the pressure of knowing that I have to do this because God said to do it. So if I don't know it, then I won't have to do it. That's going to fly really well in heaven, isn't it? Imagine using that excuse in heaven, standing before the throne of God. Well, I just chose to be ignorant, Lord, of your commands and your promises and all the things that you shared in your word, because I just didn't want to have to be under that kind of pressure. That's society and culture talking. That's not the child of God. And then fifthly, choose to be tolerant of all positions. People have taken the United States Constitution and put it into the Bible. Well, we should be tolerant of all faiths and tolerant of all that kind of stuff. You know, our Constitution, I'm thankful that we have that liberty in our country. But understand, that doesn't mean that the Bible has to be rewritten. So we're tolerant of every doctrine and everything that comes along the pipeline. We just accept it because, you know, after all, the Constitution says that. God's not going to judge us according to the United States Constitution. Got a preacher over in Pensacola that preaches the Constitution from the pulpit. There's not one sinner that's going to go into heaven because of the United States Constitution. There is not one person that's going to stand, I stand on the Constitution of the United States, therefore you should let me into heaven. We're going to stand according to the Word of God. And some people today know the Constitution better than they know their Bibles. I don't get into this ultra-conservative type stuff when we preach the Constitution. It's our God-given right, the Constitution. I'm thankful for the Constitution, but this is the Constitution of the believer right here. And we don't know it. We don't know it like we ought to. And it's a shame on us. Question number four. Having begun, verse 3, in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Here's a position that the Galatians had come to. The flesh perfects the Spirit. Now, is that going to fly in Scripture? The flesh perfects the Spirit? If that were the case, then the cross is of none effect because the cross crucifies the flesh, kills it. Crucifixion didn't have very many survivors. Okay? Crucifixion, when you said crucify in Rome, it meant you're dead. You're gone. There's not going to be any more of you left alive. You're going to be gone. And yet the Galatians had come to the place where they thought actually that flesh perfects the Spirit. No, they hadn't gotten that far. They hadn't thought, as Paul exposes. They had not thought. And so they came up a position that the flesh perfects the Spirit. Having begun, this is in the point tense in the Greek language, referring them back to the moment when they responded by faith to the gospel. Was that done by the flesh? No. Having begun in the Spirit, do you think you're going to finish in the flesh? The answer is, it's not possible. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. What is begun on the supernatural level of the Spirit has to be finished on the supernatural level of the Spirit. Amen? You can't finish in the flesh what God started in the Spirit. Jesus Christ, having begun a good work in you, will continue it unto the day of Christ. It's a supernatural work salvation brings. And today we're offering an unsupernatural gospel today. We've got a natural gospel that fits all of the things that you want it to do. We dress Jesus like we think He would be dressed. He'll look just like me. Grunge outfits. We want Jesus to have the appetites that we have. And we've made a man-made Jesus. He's not supernatural anymore. He looks like us. Oh, may the Lord help us. If we have a Jesus that's like us, we are all hopeless. We're in a state of ruin if that's the case. And Paul says, what you've started in the Spirit, do you really think you can finish it in the flesh? And the answer is no. Therefore, the flesh does not perfect the Spirit. The flesh is always contrasted to the Spirit. In the flesh, are you now perfecting yourself? Do you really believe that rites and ceremonies and keeping the law is going to perfect the flesh? A work begun in the higher sphere cannot be completed on a lower sphere. How foolish to think that we can expect any good thing from the flesh. And yet we are all guilty. We accept Christ by faith and are born from above by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. But too often we settle down to a life of ease, doing those things which are convenient, or we work feverishly in the energy of the flesh. Both are wrong. Both are wrong. Has to be done in the power and work of the Holy Spirit, because that's where it all began. That's where it all began, if it began in your heart and life. Question number 5. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? Now, I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 14, because I want you to see a little bit of the history of the Galatians here. Acts chapter 14. draw your attention to a few verses of Scripture. Let's look at the first 7 verses. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time there, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done in their hands. Now, Iconium is southern Galatia. All right? Miracles were performed, granting of signs and wonders. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held by the Jews and part by the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies round about, and there they preached the gospel. Now what did they suffer for believing? Some were stoned. They were run out by the rulers of the city. It cost them something to come to faith in Christ. Look down at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Paul suffered for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. These Galatians had gone through it. They had suffered tribulation. They had been stoned. The Apostle Paul had been stoned while preaching the word in Galatia. And he tells the people, he makes it clear to them, confirming the souls, it says, of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much happiness? No. Through much entertainment and excitement make it through to the kingdom of heaven? No. What does it say? Much tribulation. Now, Galatians, was that tribulation all in vain? What you suffered? Those that came in to seek to try to draw you aside with enticing words, why are you following them? They are the ones that persecuted you. They are the ones that brought much tribulation. Is that all for naught? You talk about some thinking. Does it make sense? If someone wraps you upside the head, all right, or punches you in the nose, are you going to go over and say, hey, let's make everything right here? No, you're going to watch them like a hawk. You're not going to forget about it. You're going to remember it every time you see him. That's the guy that punched me in the nose. And yet the believers in Galatia were putting their arms around the ones that have been persecuting them, causing them tribulation. You're not thinking, Galatians. These are your enemies. These are not your friends. Why is it that so many people continue to embrace the enemies of the cross? I do not understand it. I know some preachers that maintain friendships with unsaved individuals that do harm to the cause of God's work, but somehow they were buddies when they were little, and they're able to keep that friendship going all through the years. I don't understand it. And Paul didn't either. These Galatians are the ones that caused harm to the work of Christ that we did in Galatia there. Why are you buddying up with them? Why are you palling around with them? Folks, separation is practical. It keeps the work of God pure. It keeps doctrine pure. And when we start buddying up with those that are punching Christ and trying to fight against him, then we're lining ourselves up with the enemies of the cross and not with the cross. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Was there stand to no avail? Was there suffering all a mistake? Or was there identification with Christ all of a sham? Paul exposes this. And we are not to be as those, as Hebrews 10:39 says, who draw back unto perdition, but rather of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Got to move on. And then finally, question number 6 here. Verse 5. Let's go back to our passage there in Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Paul now interjects himself into this. When I was there among you, I preached Christ unto you, and God allowed us to perform miracles through His power before you. Did we do it by the law, or did we do it by the hearing of faith? What's the answer, folks? It was the hearing of faith. They didn't go out and start performing works of the law and following the rites and ceremonies and all the stuff that was associated with the Judaizers that they said was necessary unto salvation. It was by the hearing of faith. When the Galatians saw Paul and Barnabas working with great power, they knew that the power was of God and that the blessings of the gospel were imparted to those who had faith to be healed. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 15. We didn't read those verses. There are many that had faith, the Bible says, to be healed. It was by grace through faith that the abundance of spiritual blessings had come to them. End of story. No work of the law, no adding, just by faith and by grace. It was not by any works of the flesh. I like this word, ministers, there. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. It's the word for provides for. To supply abundantly. Paul said, when I was there through the power of God's Spirit, we provided abundantly unto your spiritual need. Super abundantly. There was no want of the supply of the Spirit in your behalf to bring you to faith in Christ Jesus. And now you want to turn your back on that and say you have to follow rites and ceremonies to add that so you can be saved? Galatians, you're not thinking. We as God's people living in 2006 have a responsibility to think. But not just to think rightly according to right doctrine. Because folks, if Galatians can be sent off into error, and Peter can go off into error, and Barnabas can go off into error, then we can go off into error, right? We've got to have our feet firmly planted on the Word of God. Ignorance is no excuse. We must be in God's Word so we can stand on the Word, and when we stand before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ someday, we can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant." Because we knew the Word, we knew what God expected of us, we knew the Word of Christ, and we lived by it day after day after day. Oh, how we need to be anchored in the truth. Don't drop anchor at the local bookstore. Don't drop anchor on the latest fling internet site that's got a new doctrine they want to sell. Don't be wrapped up into these guys that come along that become popular and everybody thinks, well, if they're popular in these churches, it must be right. More than likely, it's wrong. We have a responsibility to judge everything and everyone by the Word of God. Try the spirits to see whether they are true or not. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you have challenged us this morning, as you did the Galatians through the Apostle Paul some 2,000 years ago, to think biblically. And Lord, if there is a weakness that we all have, it's in this matter of thinking biblically. We love to take what we receive from this person or that person, and we don't line it up with the Word. We don't see whether it's true. We don't try the spirits like we ought to. And as a result, we lack the discernment and the light that we so desperately need in a dark world. Lord, forgive us of that sin. And help us to take the rebuke that comes from your Word, to challenge us to be thinking Christians, to reason from the Word rightly, to know the doctrine, and to be able to go on and to serve thee faithfully until you come to take us home, or we go by the corridor of death, whatever the way you take us through, Father, help us to be faithful all the way to the end. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit convict us this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.